Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another really cool episode of Retro Rewatch. Yes, that's the show where we rewatch retro TV shows and then we talk about it. And yeah, when I say we, I mean, of course, Jeff Gamet and me, Patrice. So hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Patrice. And I'm very much looking forward to today's episode.
Yeah, today's episode has a legacy. No, it is legacy. It is legacy. It is Stargate SG-1 Season 3 Episode 4 Legacy. The one where you had some wild ideas what this could be about.
Yeah, I was way off.
You were way off.
But after seeing the episode, the title makes sense. But boy, was I off.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, kind of. I mean, it was, I mean, to be fair, it was someone's legacy. It just wasn't one of the main cast.
Right.
So, yeah, interesting. Yeah, it's a set. I don't know where to go with this legacy. It's a show. We'll talk about it at the end. I think we will have very interesting opinions about it. That much I can say. Hopefully, everybody has watched it.
I hope so, because otherwise, this is spoiler palooza.
Yeah, then well, that's your problem. Like, this is a rewatch show for a 20-something year old, 28-ish, 7, whatever, 6, 5, I don't know. Something like that, year old show.
More than 20 years old, and I am in the small minority that's watching it for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you absolutely are. But I mean, you have now watched 2 seasons and a few.
So, right, two seasons, and I'm still enjoying the show.
That's good. Yeah, that's why we're still doing it. But we did some other special episodes in between, right? I mean, we did Gilmore Girls. We just posted a extra episode from the British Tech Network, like a crossover talking about other TV show stuff. So also retro, kind of retro TV. So we thought it was relevant. But yeah, today, Stargate SG-1. We're back. So, as usual, I have some production notes. Let's just jump in.
Okay.
Air date, July 16th, 1999 in the US, October 13th, 1999 in the UK on Sky One. IMDb rating, not as good as last week, 8.1. This time it is 7.4. And yeah, I can see why. We'll talk about that. It was written by someone we already knew about, Tor Alexander Valenza. I think he also wrote Spirits, for example, and there is definitely some crossover with Spirits. We'll see.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And we have, I didn't pay attention to where his cameo was. Peter DeLuis directed it again. And we know from him that he always has a cameo somewhere, so... I didn't see him, but he must have been somewhere, probably somewhere in the background.
I would assume so, but I don't recall seeing him in the episode.
Yeah, but I mean, I know he always does this, so I would assume that he did. It's just not always so obvious. Yeah, we have some guest stars. We have Kevin McNulty as Dr. William Warner. We last saw him in Spirits.
It was nice to see him again.
Mm-hmm. Both as Seltz and also as Dr. Warner. So nice seeing him again. We have Eric Schneider as Dr. James McKenzie. And we have Terrell Rothery as Dr. Janet Fraser. So those are the three doctors we see this episode. Very doctor heavy.
And it makes sense.
Makes sense. And we have another guest star, a certain, never heard of this name, Michael Shanks as Marcello.
Huh.
Who is that guy? Don't know.
I don't know.
Never heard of him.
Must be an extra.
Must be an extra. Yeah, no, of course. It's Daniel Jackson, of course. Yeah, so we already knew that he was playing both. And fortunately, he gets to come back as Marcello, even though it is in a much lesser capacity, like little things here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And his voice, of course. We have a German title this time that I found. It is Besessen, Possessed.
Man, the German title makers love their spoilers.
Oh, yes. Like, Legacy is kind of like, oh, that's mysterious. Possessed is like, okay, something is happening. Someone is possessed. The three doctors, Fraser, Mackenzie, Warner, are connected with the Stargate program from the beginning. And it is the only episode where they appear together.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the first episode I recall seeing Dr. Warner and Dr. Fraser together.
Yeah. Yeah. They have shown up, I mean, Fraser all the time. Mackenzie was in Fire and Water. And yeah.
Warner. And we saw Warner before we saw Fraser.
Yeah. Did we? Don't remember.
Isn't that right?
I think Fraser was quite early. But we did see
Mackenzie we saw first.
Mackenzie we saw first, and actor Eric Schneider was actually a medical doctor in a deleted scene in the pilot episode. So we didn't actually see him, but he was technically there. And it was restored for the Children of the Gods final cut that they did in the late 2000s somewhere. I think we mentioned that back in the day when we watched that episode. There was kind of a, like, I don't know, TV movie cut that they did. And that's the Children of the God. And there they restored it. So there he was actually included. Reporting to General Hammond on the Jaffa killed in the gate room. But it is likely a different character. I mean, we don't know, but we assume so. The original title for this episode was actually The Imbroglio, which is Italian, I think, and means a big problem.
Legacy
works better.
Works better, yeah.
Yeah. The hospital scenes where Daniel Jackson is committed for psychiatric evaluation were filmed at the Jean Matheson Memorial Pavilion in Vancouver.
Huh.
So,
real location. Who knew they had a padded wall there?
I guess they did. Yeah, so that's it. Not too much, but some, as I said, some interesting bits at least that we get. I have one production error for later, but we'll talk about that when it happens.
Okay.
So, should we just jump in?
Let's do it.
So the opening is really cool. We start in a kind of a dark tunnel of some sort. Mm-hmm. We see SG-1 going around with their flashlights. We learn it's kind of a facility of some sort. Daniel thinks the facility was built by some advanced civilization, yet unspecified. We'll learn about that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But then they come up to a door that looks very, very, very gold.
Yes, it definitely does.
Yeah, the outside
even has... Mm-hmm. Even has what looks like a very gold button on the wall.
Yeah, little red glow button thingy that Teal'c then opens. And if there were any doubts, the inside, 100% gold. Like, you know, golden writing on the wall, the whole shebang. We've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in there, they go around and they find some bodies. They're kind of...
Desiccated,
yeah, kind of like that. So I think they decide, oh, it's probably a good idea to have some hazmat gear on just in case. I mean, who knows what happened to them?
Mm-hmm.
Smart. And I think, I don't remember who, someone moves the body or something, and we zoom in and we see like the little, basically the entry wound of a gold world.
The ghoul door.
The ghoul door, yes. In the back. So, very clearly, they are Goa'uld. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what happened there? We don't know, because that is the opener.
Yeah.
What did you think about this one?
I liked the opener.
Okay.
It gave us some mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave us a setup for... We don't know what, but we can tell we've just been set up for whatever's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a room with 9 dead Gould.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know it's 9 yet, but...
But, yeah, we see several dead... We see several bodies.
Yeah, and, I mean, the door was locked. So, interesting. Why are they locked in there? Why are they dead? It's a mystery.
Right. Yeah, and they didn't drag it out. It was just very... Here it is.
To the point.
Teal'c decides to open a door without telling anyone or getting any permission.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, button, let's push it.
That's a big red button. Uh-huh. I know my job.
Button pusher.
But it was quick. It was tight. They gave us a nice setup, and then we move on.
Yeah, and we move on after the intro back into the room. We learned that the button on the inside was damaged by a ribbon device, so it's destroyed. You can't open it again, I guess.
So, ribbon device, is this something I'm supposed to remember from another episode?
Yes. Basically from the episode before, because they called it like that before, like in the episode before. It's new. They've never named it, as far as I remember, at least. It's that hand glowy thing, the ribbons on your hand.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. But
I had forgotten the term.
I think last time it was kind of mentioned offhand because they were taking away the ribbon device to clear the weapons out of the base. Right. I don't remember it being mentioned before, to be honest.
Okay.
I certainly didn't recognize it, to be honest. So. Yeah. There's a crest on the floor that I think Teal'c Wiki identifies as of the Lindris. And it is a rival league of lesser Gould to challenge the System Lord. That's what Teal'c Wiki has to say about the Lindris.
I liked that because it gives us some more backstory and lore for the Gould, and it shows that they are capable of forming complex alliances.
Yeah. And complex societies. They were apparently 9 members, and then they start counting, and they're like, 9 bodies.
So, yep, how about that?
How about that? Daniel found another tablet, like one of them we've seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And he can read it, and he says, it's some kind of battle plan, but they need kind of one of those page-turner stone thingies that they found on other planets.
And Jack conveniently finds one.
He's like, oh, you mean one of these here? Daniel uses the device and goes over it, and then he hears a sound of some sort, but there's nothing. And Jack says, the typical Jack answer, maybe we should pack it up and let go. This doesn't seem to be terribly interesting. And let's have the medical containment unit deal with this.
You know, that seems like a prudent move.
Yeah, I would say so. It doesn't need an SG team now. I mean, they're all dead and it's mostly a crime scene now. So let's have the experts take care of that.
Now, Daniel does something in this scene, which becomes a setup.
Okay.
And because he makes a comment, and I'm paraphrasing, about he felt like someone brushed something past him.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. He did mention that, yes. So we go back to SGC. And we go back to the changing room. I guess I don't know if it's co-ed or if it's the boys' changing room. I don't know. I assume so.
There's a scene, and it might be from season 1,
where they talk about that. Yeah, they talk about
it. It's the changing room, but there's certain hours where it's just for women.
Yeah, something like that. So anyway, not important. Daniel starts to hear voices. Someone is calling him. Very faint. Mm-hmm. It's very ominous, the music and everything. And so he gets ready and leaves the changing room. And in basically at the door, he encounters Carter, who's just coming in. And he asks her, like, whether she was calling him. And she says, no, I wasn't.
Yeah,
But by the way, Hammond is waiting.
Right. Because of course.
And you know what happens next.
We have to go to the exposition
room. Exactly, because now we need to have some exposition. So we go to the exposition room. I think Fraser is there and explains that the Ghoul died before the host. She can tell based on some protein markers that they leave behind when the Ghoul dies and gets reabsorbed into the body. She cannot tell how the Ghoul died because there's no Ghoul left. They were reabsorbed, as I said.
Mm-hmm.
Some speculation about, is it like biological warfare of some sort? They thought the Ghoul were immune to everything, but maybe not.
But maybe not.
They speculate like who killed them, like who could have done this. But it looks like they actually locked themselves in, which is crazy.
Right, locked themselves in and then destroyed the lock mechanism exactly. So they couldn't get back out.
Yeah. The Ritu pop up again because, you know, that's the big bad, supposedly, that they're now talking about in every episode, basically, after the Ritu episode. But I think that gets dismissed pretty quickly because, like, yeah, that's not their style.
Right, because then the Ritu would have been stuck inside the room.
Well, that and their one, and if they had used their weapons, those are pretty destructive. So they would have just shot them, not... whatever they did, kill the Ghoul. Like, they didn't care about the host. They were like, blow them up.
Right, yeah, get rid of everything. Yep.
Yeah.
That's so Ritu.
Daniel is kind of distracted by the dialing gate a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because we hear it. Hammond wants the tablet translated ASAP. So he tells Daniel to kind of make that a priority. And with that, he dismisses them. And Daniel watches SG-7 come through the gate. So they're watching from the exposition room up high. But he sees them as the corpses that we saw on the planet.
Yeah. And Jack is standing with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel looks over to Jack like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Are you seeing this?
Yeah.
And
he doesn't say anything.
He doesn't say anything.
He's just looking at him, and then he looks back, and then the team is back to normal. So whatever he was seeing wasn't real. But he doesn't say a word about it. So we go to his lab.
And so Daniel is busy...
taking pills.
Oh, right. Yeah, he has this bottle of pills. A big bottle of pills.
Yeah, and he's translating the tablet.
Right. And he gives us part of the translation out loud.
Very kind of mutters it. It's not super loud, but he mutters it, but it's very appropriate in this situation.
It's clearly foreshadowing. Yeah.
He says, to enter by infiltration.
Yeah.
Hmm. And then all of a sudden, he hears a gate dial from his closet.
And okay, so this had me confused at first, uh-huh. because my interpretation was his little office space that he uses, his lab, must be like right next door to the gate room, if we can hear it so clearly from where he is.
But they have massive walls. That's, even then, I don't think you would hear it.
Right, and it isn't until they give us a free shot on the closet where I'm like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
So I'm being slow again.
Yeah. But it's like, I mean, that's also kind of probably the process that Daniel went through. He's like, why am I hearing the gate? Why is it coming from my closet?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes there and he opens the door. And then he all of a sudden sees an event horizon, like on the Stargate, without the Stargate. Like there's no Stargate. It's just the event horizon in his closet.
Yeah, his closet went Narnia on us.
Exactly. And then kind of, I think he gets called through, like, oh, Daniel, come through, kind of.
Join us, Daniel.
Something like that.
We have cookies or something.
Something like that, yeah. And then one of the corpses again comes kind of through and grabs him and pulls him into the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Because the next thing when he's conscious again, he wakes up in the infirmary.
Yeah.
So something happened.
And Jack is playing with his IV.
Yeah, Jack sprang with his IV. And Daniel admits that he saw ghosts. And he tells Jack what he saw. Kind of weird shit. And Daniel's idea is like kind of a crazy idea. Maybe the ghoul have entered the facility. Maybe they have some special technology that allows them to open stargates in closets now. And now they want Daniel.
Yeah, and Jack's like,
he's like, all nine of them? And Daniel's like, yeah, no. Maybe he had a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, so I like that they did this so mm-hmm. that even Daniel is questioning what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely super weird, but I mean, given all the crazy shit that they've gone through, it's not out of question that something like this could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there is a Stargate in his closet. Who knows?
Yeah, and maybe there are hidden gold.
Yeah.
That only Daniel is seeing.
Yeah. So we go back to the exposition room. Because we need more.
Right.
Jack actually walks in and Hammond and Dr. McKenzie are there. And Jack says, I'm not going to enjoy this, am I?
Yeah, I thought that was a great line.
Yes. So it turns out that Dr. McKenzie thinks there is a serious problem with gate travel. Because 52% of all Stargate teams have reported headaches. To which I think Jack says something about, a lot of people have those. And he's probably right. But it's funny, like that, like a doctor or scientist uses math and is convinced that something is something bad. And well, at the end, it turns out it's not.
Yeah.
You know, what was it? If you hear hoofbeats, think horses, not zebras. That's from Scrubs. It's from Scrubs.
Okay. I thought that sounded familiar.
Yes, that's from Scrubs. Yeah, but I mean, basically, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like if you Google your symptoms, it's always you're dying and you have cancer or something.
Right, yep.
It's kind of like that, yeah. A lot of people have headaches. It happens, especially in stressful situations and when they've been out and about and probably not slept in the best conditions. It kind of happens.
Yeah, I'm assuming the Stargate program is highly stressful for everyone involved. Oh,
I would assume so, yeah. Yes. So, McKenzie says, Dr. Jackson has experienced what I characterize as a first break psychotic episode, which may be manifesting a full-blown hyperphrenic schizophrenia. I'm reading that verbatim. I probably butchered it, but I copied this out of the transcript.
Hyperphrenic schizophrenia.
Something like that, yes. But the interesting thing is usually it is hereditary, but Jackson does not have family history of this. So it's unlike...
Dr. Fraser points out that...
It could, but it could be environmental as well. And Jack says, well, all right, let's say for the sake of argument that it is the Stargate, a theory to which I do not ascribe, then why don't just put a little sign at the base of the ramp that says gate travel may be hazardous to your health? I can live with that.
And Sam chimes in, so can I.
Yeah, and Hammond says, well, the Air Force can't. I can't risk any Stargate officer having delusions in the middle of a crisis. Therefore, as we speak, all outstanding SG teams are being recalled for evaluation. And basically, for the time being, he is shutting down the program. Right? If nobody can go anywhere, it is kind of shut down.
It's temporarily shut down.
Yeah.
Just so you know, because apparently it's a thing now,
mm-hmm.
I went ahead and looked up hyperphrenic schizophrenia.
Okay.
And it's a subtype of schizophrenia characterized by disorganized thinking, speech, mm-hmm. and behavior, along with inappropriate emotional responses. Hyperphrenic is now considered an outdated term.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's now, I just lost the word. Where'd it go? it's part of schizophrenia, mm-hmm. but they didn't use the term hebephrenic anymore.
Okay. I mean, sure.
Disorganized schizophrenia. Disorganized. That's what they call it now.
Okay. I mean, this is a 20 something year old show. So,
right. Stuff so at the time, that was. Yeah. Very likely the correct term to use.
Yeah. And special mental health, the DSM and whatever, all of them have evolved quite a lot over the decades. So.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Makes sense. So, it's shut down. Carter is concerned about Daniel. She says, what about Daniel, sir? And Mackenzie says, well, for now, we're going to medicate him and let him rest in one of the VIP rooms. But Frasier points out, well, if his symptoms persist or he becomes a threat to himself or anyone else, we'll have to commit him to mental health. Foreshadowing.
And, and no one likes hearing that.
No, nobody does. So we go to the aforementioned VIP room.
Did you notice the bedding in the VIP room?
No, I did not. Was it nice? I didn't pay attention to it.
It felt very 80s, but without the neon colors. Yes, I guess 90s. it's this kind of gaudy blue, dark blue mm-hmm. Bed covering and pillows with gold trim with stars on them.
Oh, okay. Well, so, VIP. Screams VIP.
VIP.
VIP on a budget.
It screams VIP pay by the hour.
Okay. funny. Yeah, but you know what they do have is a chessboard.
Well, that's lucky.
That's lucky because Daniel and Jack apparently, even you, like playing chess together.
Yeah, and it's clear that Daniel is distracted while he's playing.
Yeah, but he still beats Jack, like, hands down. He says, checkmate, I should have done that 2 moves ago. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he says, I feel better, actually. And Jack says, well, that's because it was just stress. And I have a very calming effect on stressed out people. How about a game of gin? And Daniel says, I know nothing about gin. And Jack says, perfect.
I thought that whole exchange was great.
Yeah,
especially I have a very calming effect on people who are stressed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yes, and it's also something very 90s or very maybe military or very Jack. I don't know which of the three, probably all three, to kind of push it. Oh, it's just stress. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You might have a serious mental health condition, but it's just stress.
It's just stress.
Like, everybody, like we all do that.
Walk it off.
Walk it off, exactly. That's kind of that mentality. Oh, it was just stress and you're better now. Well, apparently, turns out, it doesn't work that way. Because Daniel, all of a sudden, hears the gate dialing again. And then he sees a Goa'uld larva on Jack's arm.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees it. He's like, I think he asks him even like something. And Jack's like, oh, it's all good. And he sees it enter Jack through the neck and Jack's eyes glow. And he asks Jack, it's like, how do you feel? And he's like, I feel fine.
But then Daniel's like, no.
No. Can't be fine. Can't. I have to get it out of there. And he kind of, goes crazy, kind of. And starts screaming and attacking Jack a little bit. And then he just collapses onto the floor. So clearly he's not fine. It wasn't just stress.
Right. So Jack dials what I assume is SG-911.
SG-911. Dr. Fraser's number, probably.
Right.
So we go to the white padded room that, of course, we have to have. It's a mental health facility. It has to have a white padded room.
Right. Daniel, he's clearly drugged.
He's very drugged. He's also very loopy because of the drugs, maybe, or because of everything that's going on.
And they give us a shot from Daniel's perspective.
It's like,
right. And I like how Daniel, he's like, he asks who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like he needs confirmation. Mm-hmm. Oh, because he wanted to know if they were real. And then he explains that in addition to they have him on meds, mm-hmm. he took his glasses that he wouldn't break the lenses and hurt himself with them.
So
in addition to being loopy, he has bad vision right now.
Yeah. On top of that, didn't actually look that bad, to be honest. Daniel says, and I have that conversation verbatim here because it was really good. Daniel kind of says, "I'm sorry." And Jack says, "For what?" And he says, "For being such a head case." And Carter says, "It's not your fault, Daniel." Colonel O'Neill believes it has something to do with Lindris. You remember, Jack says, "You remember that in that chamber you said you felt something brush by you?" And Daniel says, "Yes, it was them. I know you don't believe me, but I felt them." And I really liked that conversation because one, it is really real, but it's also that guilt that a lot of people with mental health conditions have, that they feel they're mm-hmm. a burden, they're a head case, they're crazy, they're just, they're kind of bad for other people, like all of that. Like they put all the, on top of what they're dealing with, they put all of that on their shoulders and say, "It's my fault, basically, that this is all happening." Even though it's really not. It's not something they could control. And this you see here, like, where it says, "Yeah, sorry for being such a head case."
I'll tell you right now, my favorite scenes in this episode are the scenes with Daniel in the white room.
Okay. There's a couple, so. And then Daniel hears footsteps. I think the gold Jaffa chomping.
Oh, right. Yes, that makes sense.
So, yeah.
Yeah, they're coming. Oh, and then he sees one of the
Lindris again. Standing right next to Tilk. And he kind of lunges at that imaginary corpse. But Tilk catches him. And we see something go from Daniel into Tilk's hand.
Yes.
Some little glowy trolley, glowy sluggy thingy.
Yeah, he gets a little glow caterpillar thing.
I called them glow slugs later, so.
Glow slugs. Okay, I like that, glow slugs.
So the glow slugs. And they don't believe him. Like, he says, "Oh, I saw something go into Tilk," but they don't believe him, of course. Like, he's hallucinating, right? So why would you right. believe it? But we hear a voice. We hear. Mm-hmm. The others don't. We hear. I mean, Daniel does. Because it's Michello's voice, a.k.a. Daniel's voice, a.k.a. Michael Shanks' voice.
So Michael Shanks, excuse me, we now see Michael Shanks talking to Michael Shanks.
We have seen that before, so. And he says, "You have delivered me to the vile Goa'uld so that I may destroy it." That's what he says.
And, yeah, so when we see that, my first thought was, this is a weird flashback because I don't remember this from the Michello episode.
No, this is a moment. No. Wait a second. That happens later.
I'm on brand.
You're on brand. That happens later. Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. Because first, we have to have Tilk get sick. So we go to the SGC, and then Tilk kind of falls ill. That's it. Kind of falls down, unconscious. And that is the point where we then go back to the white room. Daniel is sleeping, and he dreams mm-hmm. about what Marcello said about eventually is to fight the Goat World. And he actually, that was actually a real scene. He did say that back in the episode.
Okay. Okay.
And he kind of wakes up and runs to the door and tries to get someone, but of course nobody answers.
And but the way he moves, the way he talks, everything, he does a really good job of projecting to us as the viewers. Daniel's okay now.
Yeah, he's better.
He's not crazy. Mm-hmm. He's back to his normal self.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, he's still drugged out, but better.
But he's better, yeah.
Yeah. We go to the infirmary to check up on Teal'c, and there's bad news, because Teal'c's symbiote is dying. Frasier doesn't know why. And she says, without another symbiote, a day or two, maybe less, until he dies. Even if he found another larval in time, there's no telling if it would survive either, because she doesn't know why it even
right
in the first place. And then we go back to the psych ward again.
So
nice scene. Good scene.
Yes. See, this just reinforces my whole thing about the best scenes in this episode are Daniel in the white room.
Yeah. So it is time for the meds. So the doctor, is it McKenzie? Yeah, Dr. McKenzie shows up and like it's time for meds, right? And he, of course, has some orderlies with them because, you know, unruly patients and all that.
Right. Daniel the ruffian.
Yes. And Daniel says, I don't need any more drugs. What I need is to get the ones that you've got in my system out of my system. And of course, McKenzie doesn't agree with him.
Of course.
And kind of, I think Daniel is still not 100% back. He's still on meds and that they're still making him a little bit different.
Yeah. I like how Daniel says, I'm sure you hear this all the time.
Yeah. I have that even verbatim here. He says, why are you so quick to jump to the conclusion I'm crazy, that I'm dangerous, I'm out of control? It's cause I'm kind of acting that way, aren't I? I just need to get those drugs out of my system. Look, doctor, I know you probably hear this from patients all the time, but I think I'm cured. And McKenzie says, well, you're right. Yeah. I hear it all the time. I'm afraid it doesn't work that way. You don't get well from something like this overnight. And Daniel points out, he says, you do if there was an alien organism inside you making you think that you were sick when you really weren't. And McKenzie says, and you found this out how? and Daniel says, Marcello told me. And Kenzie's like, Marcello? And he's like, oh, he's an alien old man we met on P3C599. And McKenzie points out, well, you haven't had any visitors. And he's like, no, of course I haven't. You see,
of course
Marcello is dead. Dead. You told me there was someone inside you making you appear crazy. And then he says, that's a good point. I wouldn't buy it if it were you either. And I think he does the sensible thing. He's like, yeah, he's not going to convince McKenzie that he is. I mean, he just talked about like seeing an imaginary person. So it's like,
Yeah.
He's like, just do me one favor. Contact the SGC. Find out if Teal'c is sick. If he is, promise me you'll let me talk to Jack O'Neill.
So, I mean, that seems like the best compromise Daniel could make in that moment.
Yeah, but I'm sure this is, I mean, people have this kind of conversation often, like that you're like, I'm not crazy, right? I'm better now. And the other is like, are you though?
Yeah, that's not how it works.
It's not that simple.
Yeah, so, but okay, so what I like here is the back and forth where you have Daniel insisting I'm okay.
Yeah.
And instead of doing the thing which they could have done, which is, excuse me, oh, well, Daniel, you seem better. Mm-hmm. Let's get you out of here.
Yeah.
They did what ought to happen, which is
a realistic thing.
Which is, yeah, That's great for you, but that's not how this works. Mm-mm. And we need to make sure that you're still safe and everyone around you is safe. Yeah. And this is how it plays out.
Yeah. Yeah. But Daniel did get the message across, and that's what happens. So we go to the infirmary. Teal'c is doing really, really bad. And we learn that Mackenzie is asking for Jack. So apparently that actually happened, that Mackenzie learned that Teal'c was sick, and like he did what he said, or what Daniel asked him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't do it. Daniel didn't ask for anything out of like anything too crazy or anything out of the ordinary. I mean, he just said, "I want to talk to my friend." No mm-hmm. harm in that, right?
Right. No harm in that. And when Mackenzie checked up on Teal'c, he found out that Teal'c is in fact very, very sick.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe there's more going on, which given, again, given what we know about SGC, possible.
Yeah. Okay. we have a context here, and all these people fit into that, which is... Mm-hmm. We're dealing with scenarios that normal people don't deal with.
Yeah. Off-world stuff that we haven't even heard of.
Right. So sometimes when things happen and things are said that in the normal world, you'd be like, no. Just drug him up.
Yeah.
And we'll sort this out later. Here, they kind of have to pay attention to stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we go back to the white padded room, and Jack actually is visiting his friend. I'm sure he anyway would have done so, but...
Of course.
Now he has a reason. Daniel says, "I don't completely understand it myself, but I saw something come out of me and go into Teal'c, and then I heard Marcello's voice." And of course, Jack is kind of...
Jack's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're still not back. And Daniel says, "Just hear me out. I'm guessing it wasn't actually Marcello. It was probably some sort of technological or organic recording. And it said something about delivering Marcello to the Vile Gold, which made me start thinking maybe it had some sort of Gold-killing invention inside of me, one of Marcello's inventions."
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Jack points out, it's like, if it kills Gold, why did it make Daniel crazy? And Daniel says, "Well, since I don't have a gold, a side effect of this invention must make normal people act like they're crazy."
Yeah. Schizophrenic. Yeah.
Yeah. And apparently we don't see this. This seems to convince Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next scene, Daniel is back in the infirmary at SGC.
Mm-hmm.
And Frazier reports very happily that his dopamine levels are normal again.
Hooray for global dopamine.
So they're debating Daniel's theory about Marcello. Like, there's definitely something to that. And Daniel says, I mean, and they have some problems, where it's like, Marcello is dead. And he's been dead for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So how did this happen? The gold. And Daniel says, points out, he's like, what if he planted those killing devices there 6 months ago or a year ago? And the Linvers walked into the meeting and... Yeah.
The Linvers have been dead for a little while, long enough that their bodies were desiccated.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is not that long, probably, because...
Yeah. And maybe the conditions on that planet...
could be. Very dry.
Desiccate maybe. You very quickly.
Could be, yeah. So they go and look at the inventory of everything, because everything had been brought to Area 51. So maybe there is something that was planted. Let's look at pictures. So they look at the computer, and they notice like, why the hell are there so many page turning devices? Like, there's like one tablet, but there's like a freaking gazillion of those page turning things.
Yeah, it was like at least 20 in the photo.
Maybe it's their landmine. I think they talked about... Oh yeah, I think that's something...
Yeah, they talk about landmines from World War I that are still
being exploding.
Discovered. And, yeah.
Yeah, or even way past the actual soldiers living, I mean, to this day even. So yeah, that's their landmine, maybe. So did they get them, I guess, out of Area 51 into SGC? Why? Mm-hmm. Who knows? Because they can.
Yeah, why not just study them at Area 51 where they already are and save some time?
Yeah.
No. But then that means another set. So this
exactly, another set or different people or different actors, whatever. Or, yeah, whatever. So Frasier and Carter are investigating the device and kind of a sealed box of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Jack is in the room.
Some kind of isolation chamber thing.
Yeah, isolation box, whatever. You can see in the gloves, you can work with stuff and whatever. And Sam's like, okay, let's see what happens. And they have the tablet and they have the page turning thing and they wave it over it and wave it over it again. And then, oh, there it is. 10 of them.
They just drop right out.
Yeah. And she's like, oh.
What'd you call them?
Glowbugs.
Glow slugs?
Glow slugs. Glow slugs, yeah. 10 of them. And they're like, okay, well, I guess every one of them has, every one of those page turner thingies has 10 of them. And that also explains why Daniel had one of them in there, because the other 9 are probably in the core world.
In the dead, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then, oh no, the bad thing happens. Kind of predictable.
Mm-hmm.
They escape. They breach the gloves. They basically infect all of them. All 3. With multiple of them.
So, okay. I just realized I don't remember how Jack got infected. We have...
Oh, I don't know, remember. He was doing something. He was like in the room and doing something. And
well, he
like
was
one
in
of
the
them
room.
crawled up to him in his hand, basically.
Okay, yeah.
Very quickly. They apparently are quite quick.
They were fast.
Yeah.
The ones that went into Frasier and Carter went right through the gloves and in them super fast.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, they actually got out of went out of the containment unit.
Yes, in the room.
That's right. And then climbed up a wall and got into Jack. That's right. I remember.
Yeah, exactly. So Hammond calls Dr. Warner to the hazmat observation room and also a hazmat team. Frasier points out the specimens are inside us, and since we're infected by multiple organisms, we can expect our symptoms to be rapidly acute. That's what she calls it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. It took a while for Daniel, but he probably also only had one in him, so.
But, well, we know he only had one in him.
Yeah. And Jack says something funny. He says, I'd like to apologize in advance for anything I may say or do that could be constructed as offensive as I slowly go nuts. And he screams nuts.
Nuts!
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Janet looks at Carter and sees her as a girl world. Glowing eyes and everything. But Carter is fine. Like, she has 4 of them in her, and she is apparently immune.
Right. And, so she's acting like this is no big deal. And then, Daniel, he's like, oh, well, then I must be immune. And I'm like, oh, come on, we are not going down this path.
No.
And then it turns out they don't. And I'm like, no, hooray!
No. Hammond is like, hell no. I mean, Daniel's like, oh, I can go in there. And Hammond is like, hell no. I do not want anybody. I think, no, Carter even wants to leave. And he's like, hell no. You're staying in there. Nobody in or out, because I don't want those things to get out of there and spread. Hell no.
Right. And I do like that Hammond shot down Daniel's wild leap from, I've already had one in me, so I must be immune.
Yeah. Warren will stay in observation, but Carter has to figure it out in the room. Like, that's it. She has to figure out why she's immune.
Mm-hmm.
And they leave Carter's, so they leave Carter through her ears. Like, they kind of drip out. And they die. They're on the floor and they die.
Oh, that's right.
Something is killing them after they left. I mean, they leave Carter and then they're dead. So something happened. And Carter says she heard Marcello and she says, my Gould captor is dead, but I don't have a Gould. And I think Was it Carter? I think she said, Dennis said that when a ghoul dies, it dissolves into a host and leaves a unique protein marker. So maybe that's what they have to do. So they need to isolate that protein marker. Mm-hmm. Warner is not helping, though. He's like, okay. Oh, no, can't be done. It's all impossible. Like, oh, no, you can't do this. You don't have I have super serious... special problem-solving machine.
Right, yes. And I'm having serious problems with mm-hmm. Warner through...
Oh, me too. He's useless.
All of these scenes. It's useless. This does not sound like the doctor that we've had from previous episodes.
No, he is completely useless. I mean, we know why this is, because then Frasier has to have the idea and says, centrifuge.
Right, and she's saying this while she's hallucinating
losing it.
And, like, unbuttoning her shirt.
And Warner still is not helping. He's like, Major, she tells Carter, Major, you're wasting your time. If she thinks there's another way, she's not in her right mind. There's only one way to separate that protein.
And he says it's going to take weeks to do it.
Yeah, and Frasier says, you don't need to. You just need to separate red blood cells.
And then he's finally like, oh, yeah. I see where she's going.
And he explains it to Daniel and to us, like, explanation time. He's like, oh, that part makes the blood types incompatible. It's just the red blood cells and a few things in the plasma. If you can get those out, the rest should be safe. And Carter does it. Like, there's some cryo freeze and whatever. But at the end of the day, she does separate it.
Yeah, they have a centrifuge in there. They have dry ice in there.
Yeah.
I do like there's one point where Sam's like, I'm in this room with all this stuff, and you're telling me what I need isn't in here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he said useless. So she injects Frasier first, and then Jack.
Now, Jack, through all of this, he just lays on the floor with his back to the camera.
Yeah, doesn't do anything. Because it's not about him.
They didn't even need to have Richard Dean Anderson in those scenes. They just needed someone in the costume to lay on the floor.
Maybe it wasn't him. Maybe it was a stunt double or something.
It wouldn't surprise me if that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. But turns out they're better. So both of them lose their glow slugs and hear Marcello.
And they hear Marcello.
Yeah. And they're better. So now we turn to Teal'c. Will the same thing work for him? Frasier isn't so sure. I mean, she's like, it might trick the little glow slugs, but he still has a gold in him.
Right. So yeah. We don't know what's going to happen.
It really depends on how smart did Marcello make them.
Yeah. So.
Turns out, not very.
Yeah. Apparently, they're looking just for that one protein marker.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So, Teal'c kind of convulses a little bit, and then the he opens his eyes, and the dead slugs kind of drip out of his ear, and. And Frasier's like uses some suction thingy to suck them away, and he's fine. And that's also the end. We don't go any further than that. It's like, okay, he's awake. The end.
Yeah. So this episode was tight.
Yes, it was.
And
there was barely any scene that didn't have to be there, which is good, I think.
Right. And even when we had a B story, it didn't hardly feel like a B story. So B story, I'd call it the white room scenes.
I'm actually not so sure. I think that is the A story at the end. It's all about Daniel. The B story is more the stuff that happens at SGC while he's in the white room.
Okay. Like I'll accept that. Sick. Sure.
But I agree. It's barely a beer story because it's kind of more one big story.
Yeah. I agree with that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way it played out, I mean, it felt very fast paced. I felt like there was more of a a sense of a real threat in this one than we've had previously in this season.
Yeah. That is so,
so true. So I did like that.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like they completely screwed up with the way they used Dr. Warner in this episode.
Yes.
Because he came across as incompetent.
Yes, pretty much. They have three doctors and one of them is incompetent. Mackenzie, I mean, he at least handles the mental health aspects pretty well. And Fraser is Fraser. But Warner is kind of like, me, you can't do this. No, this doesn't work. No, you're lost. You're dead.
But yet, when we've seen him previously, he hasn't been an idiot.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That, I mean, so that's
at the, yeah. At the end, trouble. once kind of Fraser made it obvious to him what to do, he helped Carter do it. So he wasn't completely useless, but he was also, I mean, he was kind of a lab assistant. That's probably
what I would have done with. Yes. Yes. Yeah. What I would have done with that. I would have let the first part play out where he's like, look, if we're going to pull this protein out, it takes weeks to go through the isolation process.
Mm-hmm.
And then have Dr. Fraser do her centrifuge thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, wait, oh, yeah. And then he runs with it because he knows what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you want Dr. Fraser to be the medical hero through the whole episode.
Yeah, I think that was the point. But then why do we need Dr. Warren? Could have been anybody else in this case.
It could have been anyone. Maybe they just really wanted to do something where they had all three of these characters together.
Could be. Possible. Yeah. Anyway. I don't know. I have my problems with this episode. I mean, the mental health side, now that I've rewatched it and talked with you, I actually like more the whole thing. But overall, I don't think it's a good story.
So, okay. So not a good story overall. Hmm. And we both have a problem with the way they write Dr. Warner in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a bad story. Like, it's not that they say, oh my god, what were they thinking? It's just like, yeah, okay. It's like, not good, not bad. It's kind of, don't care too much about it.
It's, this is an episode that unless there's something else that plays out from this in the future, could be an episode that, If it didn't happen, it wouldn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an episode in a bottle for sure.
I mean, what did we have on set? I mean, yeah, we did have the outside shoot with the medical facility, but other than that, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure the hallway that we see them walk down in the opener, it's a redress of like, it looked really familiar. I know
probably like a wool ship or random other facilities they've had before. They just make it dark and that's it. I mean, it's a cool wool facility at the end, so we've had this before.
Right.
Like the walls with the golden, like, writing on it, gold writing or Egyptian writing on it. Yeah, we've seen those before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just,
The most expensive effect they had in it, I'm betting, are the glow slugs, because it was pretty clear those were not practical effects.
No, those were glow special slugs effects.
Went out of their ears.
they were special effects for sure. Yeah, that's true. But I mean, we're also into 1999, so I think those are getting easier to do. I mean, we're reaching the Lord of the Rings time frame. So slowly, very slowly. So when they started shooting and doing everything. So I think we're getting to the point where you can do this. I mean, the Gold Larva we have, for example. So
right.
Yeah.
And
which was an existing thing they had.
For me, the big turning point in using CG effects is Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park, Matrix was another one. Like there's a bunch. It's like all right around that time.
Yeah. So So I guess it's no surprise that we're starting to see that incorporated into shows like Stargate SG-1.
Yeah, exactly. It's getting cheaper to do it so they can do it on a TV show budget.
Yeah.
At least little things here or there. Yeah, but as I said, like, it's it. My problem is I don't care too much about the storyline. It's like, yeah, it's mildly entertaining, but I didn't care about much of it. I don't know. I just don't like Machello much. I don't like that Daniel is Machello. Like, haha, funny from previous episode where they did that. We're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and
it was a practical, and we know it was a practical decision because they couldn't.
Him playing Machello is, where am I going with that? Here's where I'm going with that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even realize he had played Machello until you told me. That's how much an idiot I can be about episodes at times.
Yeah.
So at least this time when I saw him, I'm like, oh yeah, that's Machello. That's Michael Shanks talking to Michael Shanks.
Yeah, as I said, it was a practical decision. They didn't want to hire another actor, and Daniel, they thought it was funny that Daniel basically talks to himself. And it made it easier to play both at the end, to have them be very similar.
Sure. Yeah. So, well, and in the context of this story, it gives us some reference point for these weapons that they discover in the page turning devices.
Yeah. But as I said, I'm like,
All right.
So what's your final verdict, and then we'll go into the chevrons.
My final verdict is like many episodes, this is flawed, but also has some interesting elements in it. The white room scenes, especially so for me. And I like that we get Dr. Frazier again. And I also like that we have Drs. McKenzie and Warner in this episode as well. And it seems to me like that should be a thing we see more often, because this is a facility where there's more than one doctor around. So we should see these doctors interacting more often.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a big facility, so you would assume there's more than one doctor.
Right.
I mean, Frasier can't be on 24/7 either, and you probably need 24/7 because there's people out on missions and stuff, and they might come back at any point
or go out we know that,
for some reason.
Right. Well, and we know that Dr. Frasier is Cassandra's guardian now.
Yeah, yeah. So
she has to be time for that.
She has a family, and she has a life outside of the facility, so... Yeah, there must be other doctors, but we've seen some. Dr. Warren we've seen before, so there's more, but now we see three of them.
Yeah.
So that part is good. So how many chevrons would you give this one?
I'm going to surprise you and give this one 6.
Wow, okay, that is a surprise. Since we fought last time with whether it could be 5 or 6, I'm surprised you give it so solidly a 6.
The story engaged me, and I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Despite all the flaws that I saw, and the ending was shockingly weak.
Yes.
But I was entertained enough through this one that I can say, yeah, that was a 6 for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, you're not going to be surprised that, and I only now made up my mind. I didn't know what I would give it. I'm giving it a 5. Because, as I said, I don't care enough about it to give it anything else. It's not bad. It's not a bad 5 or hate it, or it's okay. It's a 5. Maybe, as I said, maybe it just didn't click for me. Maybe my knowledge about the show colors it. I don't know what it is. It just didn't stick.
It's, a lot of it, I think, does come down to what you just said. Maybe it didn't click for you. This one clicked for me.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it has to click for different people. So otherwise it'd be boring.
But I'm not surprised you're giving it a 5. Good. And had you given it a 4, based on things you've said throughout our discussion today, I wouldn't have been surprised at that either, but I was expecting you were going to give it a 5.
Yeah, but as I said, for a 4, I would have needed to find flaws in it, which I didn't. Like, there were flaws, but nothing so bad that I said, oh, I can't give it more than a 4. Like, it was kind of like, it was okay. Okay.
I got 6 chevrons worth of entertainment out of this episode.
That's good for you. Let's see whether you get 6 chevrons worth of entertainment out of, or more maybe, out of the learning curve we're going to go on with the next episode.
All right. Well, I'll give you a prediction. There's a crisis for SG-1 where there's a time limit and they have to figure out whatever the language, the machine, there's something that they have to learn. They have to figure it out, decipher it, whatever it is, before that timer hits 0.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see if any of that is true or none of it is.
Oh, I'm probably way off base, but...
Well, people said, the people who know, and the others will be surprised. So, Martin Wood directs the next one. So I'll tell you that. He's back.
Okay.
So, that's it for today. I think it's enough. Jeff, like, how about like letting people know where, if they want to listen to more of you getting things out of order and or wrong or talking about stuff in general, where they can find more about you?
Well, on social media, that would be Jay Gamut on pretty much all of them, and mostly right now though, Mastodon, Blue Sky, and PixelFed. Then for shows, I'll mention The Big Show because you mentioned that early on that we have a crossover episode that people listened to last time. And I'll pick just one other show for now. So how about The Context Machine? That cool show that Brian Chaffin and I do.
I love that
How
show.
About you?
By the way, I meant where they can find out more about you, not where they can find about you.
No, that's, I can roll with it. Where can you find me? I'm on the corner. I'm holding up a cardboard sign that says, "We'll podcast for food."
Or the truth is out there. I don't know.
Or the truth is out there. I want to believe.
So you mentioned it. Big Show together. Mac Show usually together unless I'm traveling. My website, thepatrice.com, has all the links. So easy as that. By the way, we do have also social media for this podcast. So if you, if you have a different opinion about this episode than we did, or you still want to do predictions for this season or for beyond this season, we're still taking recommendations or predictions from other people. Jeff did some. Couple episodes ago, it's early enough in the season that I'm leaving the door open for people to tell us what will happen in this season or beyond. So reach out to us on Mastodon at retrorewatch@techhangout.social, techhangout.social, Blue Sky at at retrorewatch.com. Wow, I mixed them all up. BlueSky@RetroRewatch.com or an email, hello@RetroRewatch.com.
That was a lot to work through there. I mean, I'm not surprised some of it got kind of munched up.
Yeah, it's like I talk about different handles on different shows and different networks, and like all of that got mixed up. So, with that, we're gonna thank Marcello for freeing us from the non-existent gold that we had. And
I still want to call him Lemoncello.
Lemoncello. Yeah, and close the gate that is in our closets and go home. Thank you so much for listening. Talk to you soon.